participating together here at the Lord's table, remind us again of the word that this is all about. It's not a ritual. It's not a ceremony. It's not something tacked on at the end of worship. It's a continuation of our time of worship. And there is in the word specific instruction as to what this is about. Paul writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, wrote to correct some errors in how these were partaking of the Lord's table, how we need correction. Think of an airline pilot, because of the curve of the earth, is constantly correcting direction in order to end up at the right destination. I didn't know that, but even computers are designed to make those corrections to take in the curve of the earth, that without it, you'd end up somewhere where you didn't want to be. How important is detail? The same is true with the Lord's table. Paul says here in verse 17, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, you come together, not for the better, but for the worse." I look around and see what men call the Lord's table today and how they've turned it into something other than what we see here in Scripture, the simplicity. No music playing, no special music, no fancy serving plates, nothing fancy about it, except the two things that are important. That's the bread and the wine, as to who they represent. But even here in the first century, Paul says in verse 18, "For first of all, when ye come together in the church," stop and think, the word church means in the called out ones. It's not talking about a particular building or a place, but as you gather as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. So just as this bread here represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a reminder that the body is one. But there could be all kinds of divisions that arise. Some between race, which was one of the problems here, between rich and poor. Because remember, the Lord is bringing in a number of Gentiles now that we're gathering, who didn't have the same customs as the Jews, and so Jews were having to get along with the Gentiles. And same with rich and poor. Some had and some didn't. And when he says here in verse 19, "There must be also heresies among you," he's talking about divisions. Even those God has purposed, again, to bring to light what is vital. That they which are approved, that is, those that are truly God's children, may be made manifest among you. What that's saying is, any of us that are the Lord's, what's going to matter here is receiving each other that is the Lord's as one, making no distinction. But here he says, when you come together, therefore in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. Shows they use real wine. Don't get drunk on grape juice. The point is that people met in people's homes back then. It's not like they had these church buildings built. Different ones would welcome the church into their home. Lydia did that when the Lord converted her heart. She welcomed Paul and others into her home. That's where the church in Philippi began and continued to meet, in a home. These were house churches. So many times these that gathered, they came certain distance. Some brought food, some didn't have anything to bring. But some that got there late found out that the food had already been eaten and they were already drunk, some of them. Paul says, what, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in your own houses? Or despise ye the church of God? There again, don't think of an organization, but despise ye the members of Christ's body by behaving like you're behaving? And shame them that have not. So here was the division, the haves and the have not. The ones that were there early were the ones that had the, they were the masters. They could get there early and eat and drink, and when their servants or others showed up, having to do their work, showed up late, they had nothing. Paul is saying that's not the way it is. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now, here's what's fundamental. This is why I'm reading this, to remind it again what this is all about. He says, I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. There, the Passover bread was unleavened, which is what I hold here and you hold in your hand, unleavened, no yeast. Nothing about Christ was sinful. That's what it represents. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. That's why it's broken. And said, take, eat, this is my body. Again, when he said this is my body, he's referring to it as a picture of his body. I like to play with kids sometimes. I'll show a little kid a picture of myself, and I say, who's that? They say, that's you. I say, no, I'm here. And they go, no, that's you. Well, it's a picture. But there are some, again, this is how things get transformed, that literally think by some incantation, this actually becomes the body of Christ. And that's why they can't just let pass it out, because what if it falls on the ground? They make them come up front and they place it right on the tongue to make sure that no, because they've made an idol out of it. When Christ said, this is my body, he's talking about representing his body. But the point is here, he says, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. So who is it that participates but those for whom Christ paid the debt? It's not for everybody. But do it in remembrance of me. Sometimes someone will say to me, remember such and such or so and so, and I'm like, no, I don't think I ever knew him. Oh, well, I knew him. You can't remember somebody you don't know or have never known. So when Christ said this, do it in remembrance of me, he's addressing those in whom he's been pleased to reveal himself. People ask often what qualifies me to partake of the Lord's Day. It's not anything in us. It's all in him. He's been pleased to reveal himself in you. Do you have any qualms about the Christ that this word declares him to be? You rejoice in him. That's an evidence of his spirit in you. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. So why are both important? Well, the bread represents his body. A body hast thou prepared for me. It was necessary that that body should be without sin. And it was. He fulfilled God the Father's law and justice in his personal obedience. It's not in ours, it's in his. But then the cup, the wine, represents that blood shed. It was necessary. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So in these two elements, notice I use the word elements and not sacraments. The idea of a word sacrament is that there's something sacred to it. But I'll tell you, you can take this piece of bread and put it on a dead man's lips, and all you've done is put a piece of bread on a dead man's lips. You can open a dead man's mouth and pour this in, and all you've done is pour in wine in a dead man's lips. There's no salvation in these elements. The salvation is in who they represent. We would see Jesus. And I'll tell you, if your eyes are not there, then you're missing it. Because after the same manner, he took the cup and when he'd supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Remember, testament means a will. A will is only in effect where there's been the death of the testator. How is it that I can hope to benefit from salvation? Well, it's in the death of the testator. It's not in how I see it, it's how God saw it. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Here again, he says, this do ye as oft as ye drink it. I'm thankful that he didn't put any requirements. Some even make a legalistic thing of that, that every time you gather, it has to be with the Lord's table or you're not worshiping. There are groups out there like that. Here it says, as oft as ye drink it, and do it in remembrance of me. We, by the Lord's direction, have been doing this the last Sunday of each month. Could we do it more often? As the Lord directs. It's not that. Nor should we think that any type of worship or time of worship is more important when it's around the Lord's table as opposed to coming and just hearing him declare it in his word. If preached aright, it's all about Christ and him crucified every time. But if you want a picture of Christ and him crucified, this is all that Christ has left. And for me, it's enough. Look around this room. There are no symbols, no pictures, no crosses, no any designs whatsoever. You say, well, how do you remember Christ? In his word, as he's revealed in this way that he's given us through the bread and the cup. And he says here in verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show. That word show is the word to preach. So each one of you that is partaking right now is preaching, declaring, showing the Lord's death. Till he come. Till he come again. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. There's where people get scared. There's some. You go back and read the old Puritans. They had Saturday as their day of examining the entire membership, a congregation. You had to come in front of the preacher. He had to ask you about how you were living, what was going on. And then he would qualify you to partake or not. There again is the heresy and error that enters in to men's thinking that somehow we make ourselves worthy. I will tell you, it's just the opposite. Anybody that thinks themselves worthy because somehow they have prepared themselves aright are really partaking unworthily because their eyes are on themselves. What is it to eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily? It's to be looking anywhere but to Christ. We do this to remember him, his body, his blood. That's what it says there in verse 27. Shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, are taken away that the Lord never instructed. And so it says, verse 28, let a man examine himself. It doesn't say examine the other. Looking around thinking, well, I wonder why that one's participating. The fact that I should even participate is a grace that the Lord has been merciful to me. Let him examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, again, looking anywhere but to Christ, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Condemnation, not discerning the Lord's body. If we're a member of the Lord's body, it's because we've been made so by Christ and Christ alone. So I trust that's how we are coming to this table. And I'm going to thank the Lord for us for the bread. Wine, then we will partake. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that you give us. Thank you for the clarity that the Spirit brings even to our own hearts. That our eyes, even now, be upon your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who he is and what he accomplished by his death, that he should save a wretch such as I. I'm thankful even to be a member of that body. For anything in me, but by your grace alone. So we thank you as we partake. We do indeed do this in remembrance of your blessed Son, whose name I pray.